And this morning on the phone I have Rebecca Sheridan from CASA, which is the Caring and Sharing Association. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for taking the call. Now, I contacted you here because I got a leaflet in the door there about a collection, a bric-a-brac collection. So, and I said, I'm not really aware of CASA, but you apparently have been going strong since 1981. Will you just tell the listeners, give them a brief history of CASA and what is it all about?
Okay, I will, of course. Well, CASA was developed in 1981 by a group of volunteers. This group of people came together and they just saw great need in the community for more services, especially social services for people with disabilities. So they decided to try and set up an organisation to try and rectify that. So they developed CASA, and as you say, it's been going strong for over 30 years now. And then in 1989, they developed a respite house, or they opened a respite house, rather, in Malahide. So I suppose we would have three main services, really, John. Our regular social activities, which would be social groups that meet one Sunday a month, usually in a hotel. And then we would have our respite services, and then we organise annual trips to Lourdes. So it's sort of a three-pronged thing. And we operate, it's very much a volunteer group. So we would have very few staff, and the majority of our activities are organised by volunteers.
Okay, and is there a specific age of people you deal with?
No, not at all. We're very open to, you know, we would provide services for people with both physical, intellectual, of all ages, all backgrounds. There's no particular criteria to join a CASA group. We're very open to applications from all sections of the community.
Okay, and as I said, now there's a collection going on. So do you rely solely on the help from the public, or do you get any funding at all? I know.
We would have a sister, our respite house would be sort of our sister organisation, and they would get a small amount of funding from the HSC. I suppose it probably works out at about a third of what it costs to run the house for the year. So there is a big deficit there, John, that needs to be recovered or fundraised for. So that balance would have to be come from maybe our charity shops, Churchgate collections, different fundraisers that we try and run throughout the year. The regular social events that are run on a Sunday afternoon, we wouldn't receive any funding for the CASA mainstream activities or the Lourdes pilgrimages. So that would be fundraising. Now, the Lourdes pilgrimages, people pay for those, and volunteers pay for themselves as well. So we don't fundraise for that either. So the main deficit is in our respite house, really, because it costs so much to run that every year. So that's where we really rely on the, you know, the collections that you mentioned earlier, and the bric-a-brac are for our local shops.
Yeah, no, I'm involved with St. Michael's House. I know St. Michael's House's funding has been cut by, I think, 44 million or something in the past 4 years or something like that.
There's huge cuts, yeah.
So, as you say, you rely heavily on people's donations and stuff like that.
We do.
So you have shops. And
we have seven.
Seven shops. Where are your shops based?
Well, in Dublin, we'd have one. Our latest one is in Phibsborough. We'd have our main, our oldest charity shop, I suppose, on Capel Street. Then there's one on Dorset Street. So that's three in Dublin. We'd have a shop in Cork, one in Longford, Mullingar, and then in Navan. So we're fairly spread out. But that's a lot of bric-a-brac and clothes that we need to generate, I suppose, to fill those shops. That can often be difficult. And, of course, there's, you know, a lot of charities have, you know, shops as well, and they're all very worthy causes. But, you know, it just means we have to work a bit harder to fill the shops, really.
Okay, and you sent this leaflet around to the houses, and there's a collection in this area next Thursday. There's also the, you have here, beware of bogus collectors.
Well, I suppose, I mean, people are probably aware at this stage that there are a lot of, you know, people are, a lot of the leaflets maybe that go through the door wouldn't always be genuine. I mean, now the majority of them, I'm sure, are. But there are people out there that are, I suppose, trying to get in on all the charity collections. You know, they maybe try to get in a little bit earlier before your collection, and take some of the bags. And, you know, those bags are obviously sold. It's a cash business, you know, and I think quite a lucrative one by the sounds of it. But it just creates an extra obstacle. So, I mean, you know, not only are you competing with the other charities, you're also competing, and all the charities indeed are competing with these bogus collectors who are really only in it to make cash. So it just means that you have to be that extra bit careful. And, you know, it's just good to alert the public, because, I mean, it's unfair if you feel that you're your belongings are going to charity, and it turns out that they're not at all. So I know people maybe be a bit upset about that. So we just try and alert people to that problem, really. And I suppose for us, we only have one driver collecting. We wouldn't have very many drivers on the road. And, you know, I was speaking to him this morning, and he just, suggested maybe that if people try not to put them out the night before, that's one way of trying to avoid it going, getting into the wrong hands. He starts his collections at 6 a.m. in the morning, and he'll continue circling the area, I suppose, and come back and forth until about 10. So, and indeed, if anyone needs to, would put it out the night before because they'd be away the next day, they can just phone the office and we can arrange a separate collection for them.
That would be the night before the collection is actually planned for?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, and could people donate directly to shops as well?
Of course, yeah. I mean, people are more than welcome. I mean, it's great if they can make it into town, if they have transport and they can bring some stuff into the shops, that's even better. We also have our respite house in Malahide, so, if people are close there, they're always happy to take in bags of clothes and, bric-a-brac into the house. In Malahide, and they'll then transport it into one of the shops in town. But as I say, the shops are, there's one located at Phibsborough, Cable Street or Dorset Street. If people would like to drop things directly, that would be fantastic.
Okay, now there's usually ways of knowing if you get a leaflet dropped in the door or in some cases a bag. Is it true that if the phone number is just a mobile phone number, there's no landline number, is that a hint that this may be a bogus collection?
I think that generally is. Now, I don't want to say for definite because, I haven't looked into it fully. And also, maybe it could be a small charity who would only have a mobile number. I'm sure there's a chance that that's a... I mean, I have phoned them myself, if I get something in my own door and it's a mobile number, I've tried to phone and generally they won't answer. So, I think people understand it. If they can make a call and just check for themselves, if it is, a proper registered charity, I mean, they should have a charity number, and they should be able to give the member of the public some information over the phone. But I think a lot of times the mobile numbers do, are an indication that it's maybe a bogus collector. But we get quite a lot of calls into the office here. People obviously have got the flyer in their hand and they've dialed the number just to make sure that we are a genuine charity. So we're very, very open to that. And it's, it's good that people do phone and check.
Yeah, and usually there's not an address on those leaflets.
Or a charity, a registered charity number. I mean, generally, the authentic charities will put their charity number on the flyer just to, reassure the member of the public that it is a genuine charity. So probably a mixture of both, a mobile number and maybe just a lack of a registered charity number.
Okay, and you spoke about you have one person collecting. Would it be in a marked van, or would the collector have ID?
Yeah. We've one driver, Liam, and he at the moment is driving a blue Ford Transit. Now, he uses it for his own use as well, when he's not collecting for CASA. So he has signs that he can put on, so, removable signs, magnetic. So he puts on a few signs for CASA when he is collecting for us. It's an 06 blue Ford Transit, and he would have photographic ID on him, to show to somebody. So, you're always entitled to ask for that ID if somebody's collecting from your house. And as I say, any queries at all, people can phone directly into the office just if they're unsure about anything or worried about anything.
Okay, now as I said, there's a collection in this area next Thursday. That's tomorrow. And I have here a collection before 9 a.m. So you reckon if you... Your man will be collecting from 6 a.m.
Yeah, well, I think he starts out pretty early just in case people have put out bags the night before to try and avoid, obviously getting into the wrong hands. He won't be knocking on doors or anything like that at 6 a.m. He'll just literally be, in the area just checking to see if people have left bags out on the street, and he'll collect them then. But he will stay in that area until about 10 or 10:30, So if it's a case that people don't want to put it out until 9 o'clock, he still will be in the area. So that's no problem at all. And we do ask, we don't actually have marked CASA bags anymore. They were just proven too expensive, and it seemed to be, it was just a lot of money to spend to print all those. So what we ask people to do is maybe attach the flyer that they receive through the door to their black bag or whatever colour bag they have, so then the driver knows it's clearly for CASA. Because, sometimes you will have other collections in the area, different charities, and that's fine. And if the drivers know clearly that it's for either themselves or the other charity, just makes it much easier. But before 9, preferably. But, you know, as I say, you know, we can always arrange a separate collection for somebody if they're uncomfortable leaving stuff outside their front door, if they're not going to be there at that time, or maybe they're late risers, you know, they don't need to worry. They can just phone the office and we can arrange for it to be collected separately.
Yeah, it's an awful thing that we actually have to talk about this, that there are people out there who will purposely take charity bags and, you know, for their own profit.
I know, but there's money in everything, you know, John. Yeah. So unfortunately, I suppose it always happens. But I mean, I think, you know, people are aware of these bogus collectors at the moment, and they do make every effort that it gets into the correct hands, whatever charity that they're donating to.
Okay, and there's listeners out there, and they're probably saying to themselves now, oh, right, I'll donate to CASA because it sounds like a very good cause. What sort of items would you be looking for, and what sort of items do you not want?
Well, I suppose large item, we can't unfortunately take electrical items, you know, for health and safety reasons, and, you know, things like pillows or duvets and that, I mean, it's just not possible to resell them, you know. But, I mean, the main things that we look for, John, I suppose, would be, you know, small items of bric-a-brac, you know, ornaments or, you know, houseware, things that are easy to transport, and clothes mainly, you know, which we do take toys and we take books as well, but mainly clothes, I mean, is what we mostly look for. But quite often people will phone if they're unsure of an item, you know, and it depends on the space in the shop at any given time. We can take furniture every now and again, so if you're in doubt at all, just to pick up the phone and ring the office and we can clarify that for you.
Okay, and I'm just looking at the addresses here, the phone numbers. There's one in Dorset Street, a shop in Dorset Street, there's a shop in Phibsborough. Have you got shops all over the country, or is this just a Dublin based charity?
Well, no, we have quite a few social groups providing services, regular social events in Cork. We have quite a few groups down there. We have a group in Longford, and we have one in Maynooth, and a group out in Bray. So, you know, we're dotted around the country. We're not quite completely nationwide yet, but that would be the goal eventually if the funds were, you know, amenable, if we were able to set up a group everywhere. But we're getting there, John. So there are other shops. I mean, our main base would be in Dublin, though.
And how do you find business in the shops? Has it improved because of people aren't going into mainstream stores because of the lack of money? Has it improved, or is it sort of, what way is the business going in the shops?
It's sort of up and down. I'd say, I mean, I don't work directly with the shops, so I wouldn't have to say exactly. But I think, I mean, certainly during the recession, you know, I mean, more people were shopping in charity shops. But I think in Ireland, it's always been quite popular anyway. You know, people like having a rummage around in a charity shop. I know I do. Yeah. You never know what you might find. But business, yeah, I mean, it can be up and down. You know, you wouldn't generate millions anyway, put it that way. But it's a steady trade. Steady enough, but the recession did make a bit of a boost in the sales, really.
Okay, and you mentioned fundraisers. Is there any fundraisers coming up that you'd like to inform the listeners about?
Yeah, well, actually, we have one coming up in the Phibsborough shop itself. It's on the 9th of November. It's a party dress sale, and one of our members, his mum, has organised it. She's great, because, you know, we don't have a fundraising department, and we don't have anyone dedicated to working on fundraising events. So she had this idea. It was a dress sale, you know, party dress sale. So it's in November, I suppose. We're looking for donations at the moment. Anyone that has any nice party dresses or accessories that they'd like to donate, and the event then will be just an afternoon dedicated to finding that lovely party dress for Christmas. So the shop will be open Saturday, and people can come along, and for €5 you get a nice glass of wine and you can browse through all the party wear. So that's probably the next fundraiser, and we're in the middle of trying to organise then a walk along the Grand Canal as well. So they're the two upcoming events at the moment.
Okay, well, if you let us know here in NearFM about these things, we can put them out as community notices.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
So what are you mentioned the shop is open on Saturday. Does it open 7 days a week, or what are the opening hours in the shops?
No, just 6 days. It'd be Monday to Saturday, you know, roughly between 10 and 5:30. So closed on a Sunday. And most of the shops operate on those hours.
Okay, and is there a website?
We do, yep. It's just casa.ie. So if people would like more information, you know, we've plenty of information up there, and they can learn a bit more about the shops as well. All the shops are listed, and all the addresses and individual phone numbers. But, you know, any specific queries, or if anyone wants to contact the office, the phone number for the office is there.
Yeah, and this leaflet is very it's very well put together, and there's phone numbers on that of different shops, and of I take it North Brunswick Street is the head office, is it?
It is, yeah. We're the head office here, so we work from the Carmichael Centre here, which is a great centre, just housing over 40 charities, so it's a great place to work from. And then obviously we have an office in our respite house in Malahide, that's 15 Ard na Maoir, so equally people can drop items in there as well if it suits them better.
Okay, and would people, say for the respite house, is it a member-based organisation, or would people be referred to you, or can people just ring up and ask for...
It's both, really, John. You know, we've quite a big membership, obviously, you know, but, you know, from time to time there will be referrals made from social workers or, you know, people who would be really in need of respite. I mean, obviously, you know, your listeners probably know that respite is very short in this country at the moment. You know, it's a great demand for respite and not enough places. So equally so, we've quite a long waiting list at the moment for our respite services. Unfortunately, you know, we'd love to be able to provide respite for everyone who picks up the phone, but at the moment there is quite a big waiting list. But it's not just members, it's you know, open to, it's on a need basis, really, John.
Yeah, and it's there's social activities, you mentioned, every Sunday, I think.
One Sunday a month, so we have quite a few local groups dotted around Dublin, you know, so all the groups, say for instance there's about five on the north side, and they come together one Sunday afternoon a month for a social afternoon, and that would just be, you know, usually held in a hotel, and there'd be music and food, and the big thing about CAS, I suppose the main hallmark of CAS's activities is the one-to-one ratio, so each member who comes along in the afternoon has a dedicated volunteer with them for the afternoon, just to help them engage in all activities and give them support if they would need it, but mostly for friendship and a chat and, you know, somebody to hang out with for the afternoon. So it also means that we're always in, always on the lookout for new volunteers. So equally, if somebody, you know, isn't in a position to donate to our charity shops, but if they're interested in volunteering, they can phone the office here and speak to us.
Okay, and all that information will be there on the website, which is casa.ie.
It's all on the website.
Okay,
yep,
so people can donate or volunteer through the website.
That's it. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
There's more information.
Okay,
on the website.
And as we said, there's a collection this Thursday in this area, and if you could get your bags out before 9 a.m. it'd be great. And it's clothes,
that's
shoes,
great.
Books, bed linen, unwanted gifts, and bric-a-brac. And if
if
the listeners will attach the leaflet that I'm sure they all have to the bag, you'll know that it's for yourself.
Yeah, just to clear up any confusion, so we definitely know it's for CASA. That'd be great. And equally, if they don't, you know, have items that they want to donate for this collection, just to phone the office and we can arrange somebody to come out and collect from them at a later date.
Okay. Well, listen, Rebecca, it's been very interesting talking to you, and you're doing a great work there, and thank you very much for taking the call this morning.
No problem. Thanks so much for having us on, John. Thank you.